Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello, and welcome to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast on Acast. I'm Jolie Kerr, a cleaning expert, advice columnist, and author of the New York Times bestselling book, My Boyfriend Barfs in My Handbag, and Other Things You Can't Ask Martha. You should send your questions about cleaning or anything else, really, to joliekerr@gmail.com. My guest today is Jen Dahl, who is here to help advise us on how to handle our very gross coworkers. Hi, Jen.
Hi.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
The last time you were here was with Maureen and Lizzie, right?
Yeah, I was just thinking that that was a gross episode, too. I'm like your gross episode friend.
You know what? Lizzie says that of herself, too. I think the secret is that they're all gross episodes. But because they're guests, the guests are like, ooh, I'm the gross episode person. I'm like, no, I'm pretty much all gross episodes. But you guys, I'm really excited about this episode because I get to, like, take a little bit of a back seat as the expert today, which I always enjoy getting to do. So Jen has been writing a great work advice column for WeWork for the past couple months, right?
Mm-hmm.
About 3 months old now? 4 months old, longer?
Maybe.
What is time?
When did it start? I've done a lot of them.
You have done a lot of
them. Yeah, I think we're on like 11. So,
okay, so about...
And it's every other week. If I was better at math.
So that's like
5 months.
5 months?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Do you want to tell the people a little bit about the column, what it's called?
Yeah. So it's part of WeWork has Creator Magazine, which has been recently revamped. And the column is called Workflow. And it kind of gets at the idea that all of the problems we face in the office, which I think is going to lead in nicely to our conversation. You know, like, and as we work more and more, and sometimes out of the office, in the office, you know, in these different kinds of spaces, like, what can you do to bolster your workflow, make your work life easier? And so I answer questions ranging from, you know, workplace inequality in terms of wage discrimination, or like how to talk to your manager, how to give feedback to a manager who maybe isn't really going to be appreciative of that feedback. Is there a way to do it? To really, you know, like etiquette questions, like what do you do about that annoying coworker who hums all day and you don't like,
you don't like humming.
You don't. No one likes that much humming. What do you say? You know, how do you approach that?
Right.
So really anything, you know, I mean, shared bathrooms and like open office plans, all of it. Mm-hmm. I have a take.
Yeah, good. Well, that's good because we are going to get your takes today. So we solicited questions for this one on Twitter and we got a ton of questions. We actually got so many that we couldn't even use. I don't think we could even use half of them.
Mm-hmm.
And
they were all very gross.
They were all very gross and they were all very good. And so I curated out the ones that I thought were new for the show, because in the past I've had Allison Green, who writes Ask a Manager, mm-hmm. on the show, and she and I have handled a lot of the people are doing gross things in the bathroom question.
Mm-hmm.
So we've kind of handled that, and Allison has had a really interesting take on that kind of behavior, people who kind of like the poop smears.
I need to read her take.
Oh my God.
Her take.
It's fascinating. It's fascinating. So we're,
'cause these are sociopaths, right?
they're not, it's not that they're sociopaths. I think maybe sometimes they are. Usually it's indicative of an employee who's acting out, rather than expressing anger or frustration in a positive,
interesting
and constructive way. They're acting out.
Yes.
Through secretive behavior that sends a message.
Secretive fecal behavior.
Secretive fecal. It's not as uncommon as you would think, unfortunately.
Oh, my God.
So we're going to focus more on the kind of like in-your-face etiquette things that people are enjoying in the office. And we're going to get Jen's take on how to handle them, you know?
Hopefully, which, well.
Hopefully we'll figure that all out. Before we get into it, I want to remind you guys that I offer bonus episodes and all sorts of other cool rewards to my premium subscribers. If you would like to help underwrite my show and listen to Chip Chat by becoming an Ask a Clean Person the Podcast patron, go to patreon.com/askacleanperson to help support my show. You guys can also help to support Jen in her column if you have workplace questions.
Yes, please send
them. It does not have to be clean person related. It can be anything.
And can be totally anonymous. Yes. Email me, jendahl@gmail.com. 1 N, 2 L's.
Yes.
I've never said that before. It just seemed
right. I actually was going to say spell it out.
Yeah. J-E-N-D-O-L-L. Yep.
Just because there are different ways. Not so much of Jen as doll. Like you could be D-A-H-L.
I could
like
be.
Roll.
Yeah. Or I could be J-E-N-N, which yes, I would never could. Be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All righty. So we have, as I said, we've got some questions. I'm gonna read the questions this week.
Okay.
Because Jen's going to be on the hot seat. I'll help.
Thank you.
I'm mostly going to just scream like, ew, that's gross. I think that's about the extent of the help that I have to offer. Oh, we should also say, Jen and I did an event last night, actually at WeWork.
Yes.
That was through the New York Times. It was, ironically, like you work for WeWork, but the event was planned through the New York Times.
Yeah. Which we also work for.
Yes. Yes, we do. It was a panel event that Tim Herrera, dear friend of the show, put together. It was a New York Times WeWork event that was basically advice. People who give advice for a living.
Mm-hmm.
And Kristen Wong was the other panelist who does financial advice, and she's wonderful. We went out afterwards. And we're a little hungover today.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if we sound a little husky, sultry.
That is why.
That is why.
Yeah.
There's also no air conditioning anywhere we went, and it was very hot. I think I have lost all of my waters.
Well, I'm drinking this kombucha. I'm not sure if that's going to help.
Yeah.
Maybe it's making things worse.
We'll see. Okay, here's the first one. This is actually, I have to say, it's a little unfair to start with one. This is a really tricky one.
Okay.
But I think it's a really important one, and I think that there's a sensitive way to handle it, and I think that you're going to nail it. So someone tweeted us and literally said, I'm asking for a friend. And, I actually really believe that they were asking for a friend. And this is what they said. The problem is that the friend has a smelly colleague who sits right next to her. Yeah. That's a really hard one. And now I'm going to say, because it was on Twitter – we didn't get as much nuance as we usually get with the questions. And so we don't know if it's smelly because of perfume or body odor or food odors or, I'm sure there are many other ways.
Right. And some people are really sensitive to smells, like any kind of fragrance might bother you.
Yeah. Like Lizzie's a super smeller.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So that's really hard because this is someone's personal body and space. And yet in the workplace, we are thrust into situations where you have to share, things like smells and food smells come your way. Mm-hmm. There's always a person who's cooking the broccoli in the microwave and you're like, ooh, or fish. So I think it's also difficult because we don't know what their relationship is, if they are friendly, if they talk. I think if this person was someone who you were pretty friendly with, it might be worth having a conversation with them, although a very gentle conversation. Mm-hmm. Again, it's really rough. I mean, unfortunately, you can't just buy noise-canceling headphones for your nose.
Right.
So you...
You're walking around with nose plugs in, that might be a little aggressive.
Yeah. I think the other thing is if it's really to the level of disturbing the work environment, mm-hmm. then it becomes something that is worth going to someone else to get help with.
Right.
Not every human resources department is well-trained and great, but if you have a human resources department, that potentially is the place to kind of say, hey, I've got this issue. What can I do that's going to be sensitive and not call someone out or embarrass someone?
Right.
Can it come from some other person besides, you know, your peer.
Right. I want to say I really like the way that you couch that, because it also leaves open the possibility that HR can tell you how to handle it yourself, can advise you.
Right. And, you know, it depends on your HR department.
Because right,
some,
course.
You know, but maybe there's a supervisor or someone who can kind of coach you through knowing what they know about the office. Another thing I think, you know, I mean, with this one, I guess I veer toward the sort of get yourself out of the situation, or figure out some way to fix it that doesn't attack the coworker.
Mm-hmm.
So can you maybe move to a different spot in the office?
Right.
As opposed to being like, hey, you smell.
Right.
Like, which no one is going to take well.
Right.
Hey, have you thought about using deodorant?
Ugh,
like,
yeah.
Because, and some people don't for whatever reason, that is totally their right.
Right.
You know? So what would you say?
I think I would basically echo everything you've said. I wonder if there's almost an end run. So if it's a body odor issue, if there's a way to say, like, you know, I have really bad allergies and I think you wear a perfume that
right.
bothers me, you know, I,
right.
which I don't, you know, as I'm saying that out loud, I'm like, oh, no, I don't feel like that's the right way to approach it.
I also suspect that if it's a smelly coworker, they don't mean like smelly.
I think they mean body odor.
Delicious perfumes.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they mean body odor.
I think they mean either body odor or like maybe some sort of food odor or something mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It seems like it should come from someone. It should come from the HR department.
Yeah.
It should come from a supervisor. You know, this person may well know and be choosing to do this, or they may have no idea.
Yeah.
And it is, if you can figure out a way to be helpful, it's going to help them
yeah.
in various situations in life. On the other hand, if this is a personal choice for whatever reason, you know, you kind of have to live with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
I feel like it's not
one.
A great
I know,
answer.
I know. And I, you know, like I said, I was like, I wish I hadn't put this one first because it's, I think, the hardest of all of the ones that
yeah.
we have to answer.
I think whoever the coworker is who's asking, you know, the friend, should consider his or her relationship with the smelly coworker.
Yeah.
And that can help on some level as well. Like, if it was me and you, you would probably be like, hey, Jen, you got some BO. You know?
No, I'd make Lizzie do it.
And I would be like, I do. Oh, gross,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But body odor also, like, shouldn't be inherently offensive necessarily. It's like, you know, not to go down some sort of like
I know,
road
it's
of
like, it's like such a tricky thing to be like, you know, your human smell,
right. But some people are really sensitive to smells, and some things, I mean, if you're pregnant or if you're like on a medication or if you're like, smells can like really, really, if you're hungover,
yeah,
suddenly it's like, oh my God, I can't even,
right, it's like turning my stomach,
yeah,
I can't
keep my food down,
yeah, like,
which is why I think I would suggest one way to go about it would be to find a different space in the office if
yeah.
possible.
Yeah.
Which you could also do by saying, you could tell your manager, hey, you know, I seem to be having some allergies around this
right,
person.
Yeah.
Is it possible to get seated somewhere else?
Right. Okay. I'm going to just say the problem with that, though, is that someone else is going to get moved into the seat. And I'm telling
true.
You that because
it's
that happened.
Just,
that happened to me.
It is passing the buck down the road, except that in a way, it at least triggers the conversation with your manager about, okay, this person.
Yes, true.
How do we handle
right.
this?
Right. And then you just like give it to the manager.
Yes.
Like either they move you or they talk to the person or like,
yeah,
then, yeah, it's their
yeah.
problem. Yeah, I got moved next to a loud chewer because someone complained about sitting next to the loud chewer. And he had been. This was at Entertainment Weekly 100 years ago. he had been there longer than I had. So he got my desk, and I had to take his desk
ugh.
And sit next to the loud chewer, who also listened to the Moulin Rouge soundtrack on repeat for like an entire summer.
That's probably why they couldn't hear themselves chewing.
And I was just like, what fresh hell? I have the hearing of a bat and all I can hear is chewing and the Moulin Rouge soundtrack. Like, oh my God. Anyway, so yeah, so just I would just be aware of that around like requests to move. Don't just ask to move without stating the reason why, because you might end up sticking someone else with the same problem. And then the other thing is like then someone else might go to the manager and be asked to move. And like then this coworker is being like de facto shamed by everyone being moved away. And the manager doesn't know, like, you know, which it should be. The manager should be asking. But, you know, never.
I mean, if there is a gentle way and she's on semi-friendly terms with the coworker, you could attempt to address it yourself just by...
I would just also say be a little careful of that, too, because you could get into a, like, harassment situation.
Correct.
And so you just want to be a little... Yeah. You want to protect yourself.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you wouldn't want to... Trying to think of how I would even...
Yeah. I think the biggest...
Pal?
The biggest takeaway on this one is that it's fair for you to feel frustrated and very annoyed by the situation, but to do your absolute best to be as kind and thoughtful about addressing this issue as possible.
Another thing you could maybe do would be to mitigate it in your own environment where you bring in some smells of things you really love.
I was just going to say, I don't know like if that's then layering on problems.
More, right.
But like a scented candle that doesn't get lit, but that smells nice.
Or
flowers.
Flowers. Your own, you know, perfume that you like. Yeah. I mean, without... Obviously creating, like, now this office has all these weird smell pockets.
It sounds like hell.
I feel it would really bother me.
Yeah.
Ooh, also work from home.
Yeah.
Which is not possible for everyone, but.
Be like me and Jen.
Work from home. Then we're just stewing in our own smells and no one knows.
That's right. All right. This one came up a bunch. This always comes up. Always. And I think actually I do have a good answer because someone on Twitter had a good answer and I'm going to steal it. But I want to hear your answer. So user Coleslaw on Twitter asks, why do my coworkers clip their nails at their desk? How do I make them stop?
I don't know why anyone clips their nails in public. I barely can stand to do it in private. It's so horrible.
I mean, I do because I'm not an animal.
Right,
like,
of course. But that noise. Like, what are you doing?
Ugh.
You know, I feel like with that one, unlike with the smell one, you doesn't call for the same kind of sensitivity.
No.
Because it's like some behaviors are just outright rude.
Mm-hmm. And some behaviors are private behaviors. And I mean, grooming yourself.
Yes.
Is not something you should be doing in the office.
Right.
I mean, office bathroom.
Yes.
I mean, yes. Like, you can brush your teeth, you can floss, you can apply makeup, you know, you could.
But imagine flossing, like, at your desk.
Wrong. Someone asked about that. Someone was like, a coworker who flosses at their desk. Under absolutely zero circumstances. Yeah. No. You know.
I think you can apply a personal of powder at your desk.
Right. Personal. You can put lipstick on or chapstick on at your desk. Yeah.
You can maybe brush your hair, but you shouldn't.
No, you shouldn't. Personal grooming is called personal grooming for a reason. It's not professional grooming. It doesn't belong in the office.
Correct. Yeah. So with that
one. So what do we say? What do we say to people when they're doing it? Because also you can't be like, hey, Joe, knock it the fuck off, you disgusting animal. Even though Joe should knock it the fuck off and is a disgusting animal.
I think you say, hey, can you go to the bathroom to do that?
Yeah.
Or hey, can you not do that in this public space?
Yeah.
Without getting like, hey, you disgusting creature.
Yeah.
Did anyone train you any manners whatsoever? Yeah. Don't go to like personal insults, but you can say very directly, oh, that is bothersome and should not be done in a public place.
I like that is bothersome. I think that's actually like, that's exactly the perfect way to say it. That is bothersome. Would you mind going to the bathroom?
Yeah.
To finish the job?
I think that tweet that what did she say?
So
it was amazing.
She said something like when she sees people doing things like clipping their nails at their desk or like flossing at their desk, she just stares at them until they notice her staring. And when they're like, what? She goes, oh, It's just that I've never seen someone do that in public before.
That's so good.
I think that is so brilliant. Because there's nothing you can say.
Yes. The only problem is
that wrong, but that is like so cutting.
It's potentially you're invested for a long amount of time if you've got to look at that for, you know, however much time it takes this clearly not very self-aware person to become aware to the fact that you're staring at them.
Yeah.
And does it stop them? I don't know.
But I don't know.
It is a pretty awesome, like,
call out. It's a great call out. Okay. So this one is similar, but somehow even 10,000 times worse. So Katie Beckering asked us on Twitter, or said on Twitter, because we were like, what gross things do your coworkers do?
Yeah.
Like, how can we help you? She goes, picking scabs and eating them. What?
I just made a barf face.
I mean,
that is like, I might actually vomit.
I'm sorry to do this on your hangover. and then she said also there are people who are not covering their mouth when they're sneezing and coughing. And she added, everyone I work with is revolting. Yes, everyone you work with is indeed revolting,
yes.
Katie.
I mean, the latter actually is a health issue for the office.
Yeah.
And that's something that I think, again, you can go to HR or a manager and say, hey, can we remind, it's flu season, can we remind people like of proper coughing etiquette?
Yeah.
This is not okay. And I think you can also say directly and kindly enough, oh, hey, can you cover your mouth when you cough?
Yeah.
Can you not cough on me?
Right.
This is a shared space. Allow me to remind you, this is a shared space.
Yeah.
And we don't want to like set off the next plague epidemic.
Yeah.
The scab thing.
I mean, picking a scab, bad.
It's the
gross.
Eating it.
But I can also see how someone absentmindedly could be doing it without realizing it. The eating it part, however. You do not absentmindedly eat a scab.
Oh, God.
And I actually think that is like, not to the same extent that the sneezing and coughing is, but like picking an open wound is actually a health thing. Like,
right. I was, at least they're getting rid of the evidence, but they're not
leaving it
on your chair.
I think that's one of those instances where the staring and saying, I've just never seen anyone do that in public before, is the only way to go. Like,
but then you have to watch them pick their scab and eat it.
I think you could be like, did you just pick your scab and eat it? I think you could even preempt.
Yeah.
I think you could even preempt the staring and just be like, did I just see you do that?
Like wow.
I have literally never seen, I didn't even realize that was a thing, much less a thing that people would do in public.
You could also say something like, wow, I'm pretty sure that's not hygienic.
Yeah. Another thing you could say is you could just look over and say, do you need a Band-Aid?
Yeah. Yes.
I think that's a good way to convey a message.
Yeah. And then they'll say, no, I'm just going to eat it.
Yeah. You're like, well, you're bleeding and eating your scab. Oh, God.
I feel bad for this.
Let's move on before we throw up.
I also think she might want to consider a different job. Like, who are these people? How many have you ever worked in an office where someone picked a scab and ate it?
Literally never. I mean, literally never. I didn't even know that was a thing people did. I'm not terribly surprised.
I would probably,
because it falls into the pick your nose and eat it category,
yeah.
Right?
I would probably avert my eyes and never look at that person again.
Ugh.
Too bad
I'm having a real hard time with this one.
Too bad there aren't eyes canceling headphones.
Just wear a blindfold at work. You just got everything plugged up and covered up, like an eye mask, noise canceling headphones,
like,
nose plugs, a mouth guard. Like,
maybe you should work from home. Yeah, I think, you know, I wonder if I'm going to have semi the same answers to all of these, but like the direct route, but doing it with kindness, or the sort of, like make it a little playful.
Yeah.
Like, oh, wow, that's horribly disgusting.
Yeah. I also do like in the case of the scab offering the Band-Aid, because I think that sends a very clear message of like, you have just done that in front of me. Because I can see, you know, again, I don't think the eating part is absentminded, but I can see picking at a scab absentmindedly and not even realizing you're doing it. Because, you know, there are behaviors that, like, I mean, picking your nose is another one. Like,
or like your fingernails. I mean, I pick my fingernails.
Yeah. And I'm always aware. I'm like, I'm
probably disgusting.
Shouldn't be doing that in front of someone.
But I do it under
probably looks
doing
really
it under
gross.
The table. So.
Ooh.
No, but you know, this is interesting because it's all about how we share space with others. Mm-hmm. And obviously, an office is one of those places where you have to bend and flow and kind of like get along with, you're not choosing who your coworkers are
right.
generally. You have to exist with these people. And it can feel really unempowering to sort of just have to like
suffer
watch.
Through.
Yeah, yeah, to have to suffer through this, to have to smell this stuff, to have to see this stuff. So I think a way to empower yourself is to figure out some direct or kind of, you know, cheeky response, or to talk to, if it's persistent, to talk to someone else at the company who
yeah.
may be able to help.
Yeah. And I want to say also, I think like the word you just used is really important to reiterate. Talk. Don't rant. Don't
yeah.
yell. I mean, of course, you have every right to want to rant and yell, but keep that rant and yell to your friends.
Yeah.
Rant and yell to your partner, your whoever.
Right. I mean,
but,
definitely
but when you
novelize
it,
the picker, eater, scab person
yeah.
in your like opus and
dine out on that story, except maybe not actually dine out because it will ruin everyone's
right.
appetite. But yeah, when you address it in the workplace, you know, try to be as professional as possible about
right.
it. So like don't like bust into your boss's office and be like, this fucking guy is picking his fucking scabs and eating it.
Yeah.
Even though like it's normal and human.
Yeah. Another thing I'd resist the urge to do would be to just like talk shit about it all the time, sort of like gossip behind this person's
yes.
back and start like a kind of cliquey office culture of like making fun of someone.
Right. That's not being grown up.
Yeah, it's not.
Tempting though,
and it's going to come back to bite you probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just like the scab. On
gross. Jen. Ah, all right. On that note,
sorry.
This is a good time to take a quick break. Jeez. Jen and I will be right back with more about your disgusting coworkers. This is Ask a Clean Person, the podcast.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Welcome back to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast. I'm Jolie Kerr, and I'm joined by Jen Dahl. We've been talking about disgusting workplace behavior.
Yay!
Yay! Doesn't this make you so glad that we work from home?
Yay! I mean,
I'm like always
I am
grateful.
My own disgusting workplace behavior. Yeah. Like, if I were taught, could you shower? Maybe before 4 p.m. Do you always have to wear those workout pants?
Yeah.
Is that professional?
Yeah, works for us. All right, here's a good one. There was actually the same person asked to touch that had two good rants. So Leah Crane said men with feet on their desks.
Yeah. That I feel like you tap the foot. And you say, put your foot on the floor.
Yes.
Put your feet on the floor.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
This is a grown-up workplace.
Yeah.
We're
this
not.
This isn't your living room.
Yeah.
Feet on the floor.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would address it in the moment.
Yep.
Directly.
If it's a foot that is not in a shoe, you don't have to tap it.
If it is a foot that is not in a shoe, you call the police.
So that's actually what I was imagining. I was imagining like a socked. Like a male socked foot, like on the desk.
Oh man, yeah. You don't have to tap
yeah.
it,
but either way, I think
point
yeah.
to it.
Yeah, just
say
and say directly.
That's not okay. This is not your home. This is the workplace.
Foot on the floor. Yeah, absolutely. Totally.
Can we put our? The only question is:
put your foot down.
Yeah.
About putting your foot down.
What if it's your boss?
I mean, I think it's I think it's fair to, like, it depends on your relationship with your boss.
Right.
I think it's fair to say during feedback time, oftentimes when I come in for meetings with you, you have your feet up on your desk and it indicates to me that you aren't taking me very seriously.
Yes.
Because you're adopting a very casual,
yes,
physical stance,
right,
during what is a professional meeting. So, like, yes, that's one way to handle it with your, yeah, boss.
Yeah. And then it seems it's too relaxed a position to be, yeah, in if you're talking about,
yeah,
work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, bosses don't do that.
Yeah. Bosses,
no,
don't,
no one
do
should
that,
do that. Yeah, I mean, no one should obviously do any of these things.
Yeah.
But
don't do any of these things. All right. This is a good one. This happens to me at the gym.
Mm.
And obviously it doesn't happen in my workplace.
Trying to think of what this one is.
Because my workplace is my home. But I've also seen it when I go into offices, like the various offices where I freelance, well, mm-hmm, I'll go in for like an afternoon or whatever. I have seen this happen. And indeed, it is confounding. And here's what it is. People in our co-working space are always having phone conversations in the bathroom stalls while using the bathroom. It is truly baffling.
Did you see Tuca and Birdie?
No.
I think there's a plot point where there's like a woman who's using the phone in the bathroom. She's always in the bathroom. So then Birdie can never poo. And she's always, I think she's always talking on her phone in the stall right next to her. And in the end, she confronts her. And it turns out the woman doesn't even work at the company. Which is like, maybe that's where all these, none of these people work at these companies.
Right.
They're just like freeloaders who, yeah, are using our bathroom stock. Yeah. On one, I mean, in a way, the bathroom talker solves the problem of worrying about what noises you might be making.
True.
So, you know, you can kind of like do your thing.
Yeah.
But that's also really kind of gross.
Yeah.
I think I would I would like probably try to find a different bathroom. But I don't know.
Yeah, would, but you, sometimes you're already in there and someone, yeah, walks in on their cell phone and like, you know, goes into the stall, sits down, starts peeing, and you're like,
it's again like that case of, wow, I've never seen anyone,
right,
do that in public before.
Right.
It's semi-public.
Yeah.
That is just, it's poor manners, obviously.
Yeah, it is poor manners.
And it, but it's like, people are taking their phones with them everywhere. Mm-hmm. People are having conversations everywhere. And the thing that all of these questions have in common are that sort of like, these people are not respecting,
right,
our need to be together in like a cohesive and sort of balanced,
right,
way that respects other people's boundaries as well as your own.
Right.
So you could kind of do the same thing. You could knock on the stall and be like, hey, you're con. Oh, that's what you do. You like weigh in on the conversation.
I thought you were going to say you can knock on the stall and say, would you mind? I don't know quite the right way to put this, but basically, would you mind putting this conversation on hold until you've left the bathroom?
Yeah.
Like other people are using the bathroom and,
yeah,
you know.
And you're distracting us from our.
I don't know.
But I think if you
did
something.
I don't feel like that's the most effective.
So, it's also like, it's hard because you just want to be in the bathroom and do your business and get out.
Right.
Right? Like you. To have a confrontation in this bathroom,
right,
is really awkward.
I also don't think it's going to get them to end the phone conversation.
No. And it's going to just sort of like, they're going to be like, leave me alone. You know, it's none,
yeah,
of your business. And you're like, well, it is my business
because
you're making it
my business.
But maybe, you know, this person's like, so then I got my hair done. And you could just be like, yeah, your hair looks great. Like, kind of remind them that
you're in this,
yeah,
where they are, because
exactly,
that's the other thing. I think people just genuinely forget where they are.
Yeah.
And it's easy to do with cell phones. It's very easy to forget where you are and that there are people around you and blah blah blah.
Right.
One other thing that I was going to suggest actually is that this is becoming a problem that's really ongoing. Especially because oftentimes, as you pointed out, it's not even people you work with. It's, you know, visitors, clients, right, guests, whatever, whoever it is going to facilities management or HR, whoever handles these things, and having them put signs up.
Yes.
That just says, you know, this is a
no phone zone. Which is totally fair, too. You know, when someone's talking on the phone in the bathroom, you kind of feel like your privacy is a little bit violated.
I was going to say, that's always my issue in the gym, that, like, if someone's on the phone, and especially because they sit in the way that they're doing it at the gym is that they're sitting in the locker room, and not infrequently, they're on the speakerphone. And I'm like, okay, so whoever is on the other end of that phone can hear me pee. And yes, you, stranger sitting here in the locker room, can hear me pee, and I have to be okay with that. And there's really no difference from you and this other stranger, but, like, somehow it does feel
very,
like, my,
you can see that other person, you know that you're right, both humans, but what,
like,
about
they could be
this
recording
person?
They could,
right,
be recording, they could be recording, that's the whole, like,
they could be recording, they could be taking photos, they could be, you know, like, and so it starts to become a real privacy fear, privacy violation fear.
So I think the signs, that's, you know, I don't think it's going to 100% curb behavior, but if I think it's a good way to do it. Now, one thing that Allison Green told me the last time she was on the show was that, and I've read other things about this too, and you probably have as well, if you have paintings or signs or art of any kind that has eyes, it makes people much, much more likely to behave themselves and follow the sort of, like, rules of conduct of society
that we live in
because they feel like
they're being watched.
So I would say, like, put the signs up in the bathroom, but also put little, like, you know, clip art eyes on the top of them and be like, you know.
That's so good. Yeah.
No phone zone.
Yeah.
You know, with, like, little eyes. And that'll probably just make people a little bit more apt to follow the law.
I was also thinking you could, like, potentially be like, oh, man, be careful with your phone in the bathroom. Last time I did that, I flushed mine, or, you know, something again to remind this person.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm in a public space, and, like, this may not be totally the right place to continue to have this conversation.
Right. Exactly. And I think the other thing is the signs themselves can also say something like, you know, we want to respect people's privacies. No cell phones in the bathroom. Like, you know, just like the, you know, a lot of gyms don't allow cell phones in the locker room for the same reason.
Right.
Blah, blah, blah. So. Obviously not my gym. I actually am also realizing I'm not going to say it on the main episode because it's way, way, way too over the line, which if I'm saying it, you know, means it's way over the line. But I have a really gross bathroom behavior story, workplace bathroom behavior story to tell on the bonus episode that we're going to record right after
this.
You're going to lose.
I can't wait.
You're going to lose your mind, Jen. You're going to lose your mind. Like,
I have one too, I think.
Every.
That I will share.
Everyone's going to lose their mind. Every woman is definitely going to lose their mind over it. Like, it's crazy.
Oh,
it's just
God.
Crazy.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Tune in.
Okay. So we've got one more. I love it. Lee, I love you. Thank you for putting up with all of my untold shit talking on Twitter. I adore you, pal. Lee is an old reader of mine. He's been with me for years and years and years. And he responded to our Twitter call for questions with a rant and also an actual photo of this. This is crazy. This is just, I don't even think there's an answer to it. We just need to, like, say that
talk
this is a thing that people are doing. We have to talk about it because it's not okay. So Lee said, this maniac lines the toilet with toilet paper and just leaves it there after he's done. And then he added, look to the left, the office supplies liners. And he sent us a photo of his office toilet lined with sheets of toilet paper that have been jarred out of place because someone has sat on them. And this guy is just, like, sitting down on them, doing his business, cleaning himself up, flushing, and just
leaving
the toilet paper on the seat.
Right. Does he think he's helping someone? Does he? I mean, that is just, like,
it's just crazy. It's crazy that you would be cognizant enough to not want to sit your own ass on a toilet seat,
and
that
then
you line the
and then leave your ass papers
your
with someone else. But I think that actually the answer to that one is the same as what you had suggested. Like, a sign being like, if you use these liners, please discard them. With some eyes.
Yeah.
And a finger pointing at you. You weirdo. Why are you doing that?
But I mean, it was also, it's like the twofold thing of it that like, you're making more work for yourself by not using the liners in the first place, because the liners are designed to like just fit right onto the toilet shape of the seat. Instead, this guy is like unraveling like three separate sheets of paper to like line the place. That makes no sense. I mean,
this is a sociopath.
This is a sociopath. Or someone just really,
really afraid of getting
lazy.
I mean,
although he's taking the time.
It's weird. He's not lazy.
He's not.
But he is. He's just extremely not aware.
Yes, I was going to say, against all odds, I actually think this is a person who doesn't even realize
that what they're doing is bothering anyone else.
Yeah, or wrong or gross. Like,
yeah. Does Lee know who this guy is?
I didn't ask a follow up because I was just busy screaming. you know what happens a lot in this job.
Because I think in that case,
but I got the impression that he does know who it is, and in which case I was going to be like, why don't you just like wait until he like until he comes out of the stall and be like,
right, like you catch him in the act and you say, oh hey, would you pick up your liner?
No, I wouldn't even say that. I would just be like, oh hey, you gonna leave that there for the next guy? Like,
yeah,
I, you know, because also I think there's like a male talky thing that you know.
They do.
They do.
They're putting feet on desks and stuff.
I mean, wait, we should also say this. Like, that question about the feet in the desk, that was from someone who said men with feet. Women do this too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
I mean, when I'm at home, I put my feet on my own desk.
Yeah.
But that's my own desk.
Yeah, it's your own desk. Yeah. So I would say, Lee, just wait for him.
Yeah. And then let us know what happens.
And then literally when he comes back, be like, oh, you just leaving that there for the next guy? I promise you he'll be startled. Not because you confronted him, because it literally hasn't even ever occurred to him that he was doing it. And he'll probably be like, oh my God, you know, and problem solved.
And if not, I want to hear
happens. Yeah. Yeah. We require follow up.
Yeah. I actually am leaving it for the next guy. Isn't this lovely?
Yeah.
No.
No.
Bed of ass papers is not lovely. Take it away.
Ass papers.
Just love saying ass papers.
No, it's
now.
Really satisfying.
Get your ass papers out of here. Yeah.
I love it.
I want to hear what happens next.
Yeah. All right. So we want an update. That's actually the end of our questions. We, you know, as I said, we had a ton of great questions on Twitter, but I just thought that this little cluster was kind of a unique set of questions that we haven't really addressed on this show.
Yeah.
And I loved your answers. I thought they were great. Remind people where they can find your column and where they can send you more questions for you to answer in the column.
So the column is at WeWork Creator Magazine, and it's called Workflow, and it is by me, Jen Dahl. You can also find me on Twitter. This is Jen Dahl. This is Jen Dahl. Yeah. And you can email me if you have questions of any kind, work related. Pretty much everything is work related somehow. So
yeah.
jendahl@gmail.com.
Yeah. Yeah, indeed. And we'll hopefully you'll get lots and lots of great questions. And hopefully some of them will be of the gross variety. And we'll have you come back and do another episode.
I love it.
Because these are always fun.
Also, I mean, we should do like a cleaning your office space.
We should. I haven't done that in a
collab.
Long time, actually. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's do that. All right. Deal. Good,
yay.
Good content meeting, Jen.
Thank
all right,
you
guys. That'll do it for this episode of Ask a Clean Person, the podcast. If you like what you heard today, please consider becoming a patron by going to patreon.com/askacleanperson and selecting one of the amazing rewards I'm offering to my listeners. That's what you're going to want to do if you're going to want to hear the story that's too gross for me to say on the main episode. I would also love it if you guys would subscribe on Acast, Spotify, or iTunes. Leave a rating and tell your pals about this weird little cleaning show that you love so much. And of course, thanks to my listeners for joining me for another episode of Ask a Clean Person, the podcast.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.